Jesus is so good. We had a wonderful time today, and we're going to have a wonderful time tonight. Do you believe that? Give Jesus a great big hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, I love this church. I love your pastor. I love your pastor's wife and everybody associated with here, Brother Grant, Brother Roy Grant. I tell you, you have it going here. But one of the reasons why you have it going here is because that song about tell the world that Jesus lives, you're doing that. You're doing that. And the world has a saying, the more, the merrier. And I believe that that almost should be scriptural with Jesus. You know, if he could have everyone in the world to be saved and be in heaven, I don't think anything would make him happier. He wants everyone to be in heaven with him. But here's the thing, he gives us all a choice. And I don't want you to feel bad if you're reaching out and you're trying to tell Jesus that people about Jesus and that Jesus loves them and they don't respond. They're not turning you down, but it's their choice. Everyone has a choice. That's why tonight, if you are here and you're being blessed, you made a good choice. And Jesus will bless you for the choices that you make that are good. And you know, sometimes he even blesses us when we make bad choices. But Jesus wants us to do right because the choices that you make will determine your final destination. Above anything else in this world, I want to make it to heaven. If I would go through this life and be the most handsome man in the world, which I don't have that problem, or the richest man in the world, and believe me, I don't have that problem, it wouldn't make a difference if I was not going to heaven. And I hope that's your heart's desire tonight, that more than anything, you want to go to heaven. Because if that is your heart's desire, when kids at school try to get you to cuss, you're going to say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not a good choice. And Jesus doesn't want me to cuss. And if I cuss, I'm doing what the devil wants me to do. And if I do what the devil wants me to do, I'm not going to go to heaven. So even if maybe a young lady says, don't be friends with her. And you'd say, well, why? And she says, just because I said so. Don't be friends with her. Is that something Jesus wants you to do? No, he wants you to be friends with everybody. Everyone needs a friend. I need a friend. So you have to excuse me. When I have little kids that come up and give me a hug, oh, that is so good because I know that they love me because of what they see in me. And that's Jesus. We all need friends. So don't listen to people when they tell you to do things that you know are wrong. Because you want to go to heaven, don't you? And what determines whether we go to heaven, even after we get the Holy Ghost and we're baptized and we've repented, your salvation doesn't just stop there. That's just the beginning. Because it's what you do with your life as to whether you go to heaven or not. You can't receive the Holy Ghost and then go out and shoot somebody and think it's okay. Okay, it's just not going to work. You're not going to go to heaven that way. But you have to do what Jesus says is right and good. And here's how you know whether you're doing what Jesus says is right and good. Because once you receive the Holy Ghost, if you start to do something wrong, the Holy Ghost will check you. And that doesn't mean it'll put a check mark on you. But that means that the Holy Ghost will say, don't do that. Don't do that. But here's the key. You have to listen very closely, because Jesus is soft and meek. He would never force you to do anything, but he tries to help you. Now, the devil's real loud, and the devil's going to say, go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do that. You can do whatever you want. You don't have to mind your mom or dad. Just do whatever you want. That's how you know if it's the devil. He speaks real loud and he tries to get you to do bad things. Now, I want to see each and every one of you in heaven someday. And I don't know how soon Jesus is coming. He could come before we even go to sleep tonight. So more than anything, we need to be ready for when Jesus comes. So I'm going to help you talk to Jesus, because the more you talk to Jesus, the more he talks to you. And when he talks to you, you learn his voice. And that means when he says, no, 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 do it this way, you'll be able to tell that it's Jesus' voice because you've been talking to him. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's sort of like if you have a best friend and your best friend might call you up on the phone. Sometimes they don't even have to tell you who they are. You recognize their voice right away. And that's the way Jesus wants us to be. So we're going to do the four steps of worship one more time before we go back to Ohio very early in the morning. But we've had a wonderful time with you. We love each and every one of you. Met a lot of new people, and that is great. But I've seen a lot of friends that we've had over the years and still have. So let's do the four steps of worship. Are you ready? Okay. I want you to sit with your back against the back of your seat, with your legs hanging down. And again, if you have anything in your hands, even if it's your Bible, I want you to put it either beside you or underneath your seat, because we're going to need our hands in just a few minutes here. Okay. Now, remember, you're doing these four steps not for me, but for you and for Jesus. So do them as best as you possibly can, okay? Okay. The very first step is so easy. And that's just to close your eyes. Close your eyes right now and find peace in Jesus. Because when you close your eyes, you shut everything out of your mind. And you don't have to think about anything else except Jesus. Now, I said you don't have to think about anything else, but you have a choice. If you want to think about school, if you want to think about work, no. If you want to think about a lot of different things, you can. It's your choice. But tonight, Jesus wants that choice to be thinking about him. He wants us to remember how much he loves us. That he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That means Jesus will always be there for you. Even when you have a friend that says, I don't want to be your friend anymore, Jesus says, I will always be your friend. I will always help you. Even if you don't talk to me, I'll be right there as soon as you call my name. So I want you to picture Jesus in your mind tonight. I want you to picture him sitting right beside you. It's not the person that's sitting there, but it's Jesus that's sitting there, because he said he would never leave you. And now that Jesus is right beside you, he would like to see your face. So he wants you to lift your face just a little bit so he can look right into your face, the face that he created. And he can see that you really want to be his best friend, that you want to hear his voice. And he will talk to you tonight. The third step in the steps of worship is to raise your hands for Jesus, because Jesus wants to hold your hand tonight. He wants to give you strength. He wants you to know his gentle touch, but he wants you also to know his power and his authority that he can give you. And he'll grab a hold of your hand tonight and let you know how much he loves you. And when we raise our hands, we need to remember again that Jesus raised his hands for us when he died on the cross. He gave his life willingly for us, that we would be in heaven with him someday. So we need to raise our hands willingly for Jesus. Oh, you're doing so good. You're doing so good. And the fourth step, this is what Jesus loves more than anything. And he's getting even closer to you because he wants to hear this fourth step. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear you say, Jesus, please forgive me, because he wants to forgive you tonight of anything that you've done wrong. He wants to hear you say, Jesus, I want to go to heaven with you. Jesus, I want you to move into my heart. Whatever you say to Jesus is fine right now, because he just wants to hear your voice. Let's use a loud voice and talk to Jesus for just a couple of minutes. I love you, Jesus, and I praise your name. I worship you, Lord, with all my heart. You are so wonderful. You are so good, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done today. 24, Lord, that you have touched and filled with the Holy Ghost for the very first time. So many others, Lord, that have felt your presence, that had a refilling today. People that were baptized, people whose lives were changed. Our lives are changed, Jesus, because we know you. Oh, thank you, Lord, for living in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and your mercy. How wonderful you are. How glorious you are.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Come on, give him your best praise tonight. I love you, Jesus. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are everything, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are our soon coming King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now he is here. So, well, wasn't he here before, Sister Oliver? The Bible says he comes in to inhabit our praise, to be in the middle of our praise. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's why we must worship. We have to push past self. And whether we're feeling like it or not, when we come, we've come to worship him. And when we worship, he walks right up that aisle. He walks right by every individual. That's why as I stand up here and look out, I see people weeping. I see people speaking with tongues. I see people in the presence of the Lord. It's as simple as this. You have a choice. When he walks by you, you're goofing around. You're not worshiping the Lord. You're not listening. When he gets to you and you and you and all of us, he stops. And if you're not reaching out, he is a perfect gentleman. He will walk right on by with a very sad look on his face because you didn't want him to touch you. But if you're reaching out, and we just gave you an easy way, four easy steps to get your mind on him. And if you're reaching out, when he gets to you, he takes his wonderful, loving hand and he touches you gently and you feel it. And he is so glad that you let him touch you. Just because you're in church doesn't mean you're going to receive a touch from the Lord. you have to reach out because he's a perfect gentleman. He won't make you love him. He won't make you serve him. I am so delighted to be here tonight in a church that knows how to worship and that the presence of the Lord is here. And now Jesus is standing right here. You can't see him, but we can feel him. The whole atmosphere changes when he comes in. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says, say it with me. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to skip down to verse 42. We read it this morning. We're going to skip down to this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Turn over to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. One more verse tonight. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Without wrath and doubting. What kind of hands? Holy hands. It doesn't just say lift your hands. It says lift holy hands. Now, I started a message this morning. You didn't know that I didn't finish it. I'm going to finish it tonight. This morning, if you were here, you heard the word of the Lord, and it was under the title of Get in the Boat and Stay in the Boat. How many of you were here this morning? All right. Now, tonight, we're going to add one thing to that. Tonight, it's get in the boat, stay in the boat, and keep your hands in the boat. On the count of three, say it with me. Get in the boat, stay in the boat, and keep your hands in the boat. Now put a smile on your face. Y'all look very scary. You don't want me to go running out the door, do you? You just ought to have to be up here sometime and look at y'all. It looked like you had a funeral, and I'm afraid it might be mine. We got to notify our face. We don't have to be quite so serious. You can listen and learn and love Jesus and worship and praise and still have a smile on your face. Nothing's going to happen to you here. You are safe in the hand of Jesus, and we can be happy and enjoy coming to church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Grant, Elder Brother Grant. I love you and Sister Grant. Thank you so much for having us. There are a lot of people that you could have come, but you have asked us, and we are so grateful. Pastor Roy, we love you very much. You and Sister Lois, love every minute we get to spend with you. This is our family sitting out here. Someday there'll be no more partying. I'll tell you a secret. When I leave tomorrow morning and get on the airplane, there will be tears. Now, I hate to tell you, I'm not going to cry because I'm crying about you. I do love you, but I've been coming here for 20 years and I've not cried when I left you. But when I leave in the morning, I will be crying. And you know why. The most beautiful two little grandbabies, they're matching. Jesus gave us a double blessing. The little twins, Isabella and Olivia, belong to me. They think they belong to them, but they belong to me. More so than Grandpa. They belong to me. And I will cry my eyes out in the morning because I'm not here to see them grow up. I'm seeing them in spurts. But God does all things well, and I'm thankful for every minute. And I said all that to say, well, maybe I want you to feel a little sorry for me, but mostly I said it because there will be no more parting. One day, we'll all be together forever. So if you're not sure about me and you're not sure if you like me, get used to me because you're going to spend eternity with me. We're going to be together forever. Hallelujah. And I have my boat again tonight. And for those of you who were not here this morning, I'm going to be so kind to you and catch you up. The reason why there is a boat sitting on a table up here, because this is not just any boat. This is a lifeboat. This saves lives. This is the very boat that is in the aircraft in the sky, the military ships at sea. The very boat that when the ship is sinking, when the airplane is crashing, they use these boats to be saved, to be rescued. And so that's why the message is get in the boat and stay in the boat, because we are in a situation right now in our world. A government shutdown, politics upside down, healthcare's a mess, crime is at an all-time high. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see. What the Bible said would happen is getting ready to happen. Jesus is coming back to rescue his church. This boat represents the church. That's why I'm telling you tonight in a very simple way that you must be in the boat to be rescued. The soldier in the sky knows, I got to get in this little lifeboat. I got to get away from the burning wreckage. He doesn't just get in the boat and stay right there by the burning wreckage. He takes the paddle and he paddles as far away from that sinking ship as he can get and stays away from it because he knows I can't go back there anymore. It's not what it used to be. It's got to be new. I got to start all over. He gets away from the burning wreckage. Once you get in the boat, you give your heart to Jesus, you get a brand new life. There are people in our midst that don't have a brand new life yet. You've been searching for a new life. You don't even know what you were searching for. You see, when we are born, when we are a little tiny baby, we have a little place in our heart. It's like a little cup, just a little tiny cup inside of our heart that God put there. He put it there because he knew that one day you would come to the knowledge of the truth and you would allow him to live and dwell in your heart. Nothing will ever fill that little cup but Jesus. Where we get in trouble as human nature, as humans, we fill the cup with other stuff. We think if we can fill it with relationships, with money, with a career, with a family, with living on the wild side, with bad habits, if we can fill the little cup, then we'll be happy. We'll fit in. We'll feel good. But nothing ever fills it. So we're on this search all the time to fill the cup. There are people who might say, well, I can't believe they did that. What would ever make someone do such a thing? Don't be surprised. They did it because they're not fortunate like you and haven't found what fills the cup. You are here tonight in a place where you're going to be given opportunity to get that little place filled. And you will never want to fill it with anything else again. All you have to do is bring your heart to Jesus. How do I be saved, Sister Oliver? How do I get in the lifeboat so I can be rescued? How do I get to be a part of this church, this big family? All you have to do is bring your heart to Jesus. When we come and pray, you just come and stand and you'll bring your heart with you and you will say to Jesus, I want you to fill the little cup, Jesus. I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. Please clean out my heart. You just say it with your mouth. You can do those four easy steps and you will begin to feel him. You'll know he's near. And then you talk to him. I heard a little boy who gave us a great example. He was only 5. And the little boy came for the very first time to pray. He sat and listened very quietly with his back against the back of the seat, with his legs hanging down and his hands folded in his lap. He was only 5, but he did all those things and he listened very good. And when it came time to pray, the little boy began to understand, I may only be 5, but I got a dirty heart. A lot of kids think, well, I don't need to pray because I'm just a kid and I'm going to heaven because my mom's gone. I'm going to heaven because my dad's gone. Oh no, you're not going to heaven just because your mom or dad's going. You're not going to heaven just because you're in church every week. You have to be saved. I've had children say to me, well, I don't have a dirty heart because I don't do bad stuff. I try to mind my mom and I don't steal and I don't cuss. I don't lie and I'm a good kid. Let me tell you something. Your heart's still dirty. Because when you're born, the Bible says you're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So when you were born, the moment you took your first breath, you said, "Wah!" Your heart was already dirty. You needed Jesus at that moment. Your heart was already dirty. You had that little cup already filled. Why? Because we're born with a sinful nature. We all have to bring our heart to Jesus. And you're accountable for it once you hear the gospel. You're hearing it tonight. You bring your heart to Jesus and you tell Jesus you're sorry for your sins. Yes, you had a dirty heart when you were born and then you filled it up with some more stuff. Did it make any difference what it was? You might be the worst liar that ever lived. And you just can't stop lying. And that's how you filled your heart. Or you may be a gossip and you talk bad about people. Or you may have murdered someone. It's all the same to Jesus. There's no little sin and big sin. All sin has to be brought to Him. And all of us have to say, "Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me." But the moment you say it, you're going to feel Him wrap His arms around you. And you're going to realize He's not like everybody else. Everybody else that's condemned me, that's hurt me, that didn't want to help me, that abused me, that did me wrong. He's not like everybody else who judged me harshly. Oh no, He didn't look in there and say, "You mean you did all that?" Oh no. You're going to find a loving God that doesn't even look in there. He doesn't care what you've done. He's just been waiting for the moment that you say, "Jesus, here's my heart. Please fill it up with You. Please forgive me for my sins." With one sweep of His hand, He cleans out your heart and leaves a spot where He can move in. He'll fill up the void that you've been filling with other stuff. He'll fill it up. The Bible says repent and be baptized. And then it says every one of you. If you have not been baptized, you're not in the boat. And you have to do it the way the Bible says. You can't just do it any way you want. You can't just do it one way or another because grandma did or great grandma. You have to see what the Bible says, and the Bible says to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody that was baptized in the Bible was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself, as an example to us, went down under the water. Why would we do it any other way? If you haven't been baptized, you're not ready for heaven. When Jesus comes, it could be any minute, the sky's going to split open and Jesus is going to be there. And you're going to have to say, "Well, I sat through that service and I heard about how to get in the boat, but I just wanted to wait a while. I didn't really want to do it then." What a sad day that would be to make such a poor choice when it's so easy. The Bible says repent and be baptized, every one of you. And it tells you how. In the name of Jesus Christ. They'll take you up there and they will take you down under the water quickly and bring you back up in the name of Jesus. You'll feel so clean. You know, when Jesus forgives us, He's not like everybody else. You ever ask somebody to forgive you and they said, no, I don't want nothing to do with you anymore. Just get out of my face. Did you ever ask anyone to forgive you? And they said, "I'll forgive you, but I can't forget. Don't expect me to forget what you did to me." That's flesh forgiveness. You know, when Jesus forgives you, He forgets. It's gone. It's erased. The slate is clean. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Yes, you may have to pay here on earth for what you did, but Jesus won't hold it to your charge. Once you paid here, it's all over. You can just live for God and be glorious. Hallelujah. Because He forgets what you ever did wrong. An unconditional love. I know for a fact, because there are things I've done, and I asked the Lord to forgive me. And then I went back later and I said, God, will you forgive me for that thing I did? I was feeling bad again. Will you forgive me for that? And the Lord said, I don't know what you're talking about. You ever had that happen to anybody? I don't know what he really forgets. He doesn't know what we're talking about. That's a supernatural forgiveness. You and I can't really understand. We can't comprehend it. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That means Jesus is going to fill up the cup. He's not going to leave it empty, because you know what we'll do? We'll fill it back up again. When you're praying, you ask Him to forgive you. Then you begin to thank Him. You might cry when you're praying. That's okay. It's always okay to cry when you come to church. The world says, be a big boy. Dry it up. Jesus says, I collect your tears in bottles. He says, go ahead and cry. He loves our tears. This is a place you can come and weep. You can weep over your past. You can weep over the heartache. You can weep over the hurts. It's okay to do that here. And then let Jesus put band-aids on those places and they'll begin to heal. And you won't weep over them anymore. It'll be as if it happened to somebody else. God can come in and deliver you from your past, from what other people have done to you. But you have to let Him. You have to let Him. You shall receive the gift. It's a gift. So when you receive a gift, you begin to thank the Lord. After your heart's all cleaned out, you just dry your face off. And then you say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the gift. We saw, 24 this morning, many of them adults. Several of the women that I was praying with, they received it so easy. They were saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the gift. And what happens when you begin to thank Him? You're opening that gift, and all of a sudden He begins to fill that little cup. And He pours it and pours it, and He fills it up. And when it gets all the way to the top, He doesn't stop pouring. He keeps pouring and pouring till it gets right here. The Bible calls it rivers of living water. When it gets right here, it's getting ready to spill out. And your lip and tongue wiggles. And strange words come to your mind. And everything in you screams, this is weird. Don't do that. Don't say that. Your flesh is going to rebel. Your flesh is not going to want to do it. And then you got the devil saying, you're making that up. That's too easy. But when those words come to your mind, you open your mouth and you let them out. You let your tongue do what it wants to do. You can't do it wrong. You let the rivers of living water flow. And all of a sudden, you will be saying words in another language. The Bible says He will fill you to overflowing. Rivers of living water. Oh yeah, it feels great. And your lip and tongue wiggles and the words come to your mind and you just speak them right out of your mouth. You can't do it wrong. You don't have to sound like anybody that's praying with you. Anybody you've ever heard speak with tongues. You say, well, why did God choose that? That's kind of weird. Why does our mouth wiggle? And why do we say strange words in another language? Why does God do anything He does? He's God. But He does explain it this far. That it's your tongue that gets you in trouble. The Bible calls it the unruly member. So your tongue is the very thing that gets you in most trouble. So that's what He chose to use. Your tongue. You're going to yield that tongue to Him. And it's going to say words that are not in your vocabulary. I like to tell children, a secret code language. The devil doesn't know what you're saying. It makes him so mad. He holds his ears and he runs and screams out of here. When you talk in tongues, he can't stand it because he doesn't know what you're saying. Hallelujah. Rivers of living water. You're not going to heaven if you're not in the boat. You have to repent. You must be baptized in Jesus' name. And you must be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can do all those things tonight and walk out of here in the boat ready to be rescued. You don't have to wait for another Sunday. You can do it today. Once you get in, the Bible says they continued steadfastly. That means they didn't get in the boat and get out of the boat and get in the boat, get out of the boat. They continued living for God. Some of us have a little problem continuing to stay in the boat. You know why? Because there are things floating by on the wicked waters of this world. You're in the boat and you don't want what's in the water in the boat. You don't want the water inside the boat, or you have to bail it out. When the worldliness starts getting in the church, we bail it out. We don't live like the world. We live according to the scripture. He hasn't changed his mind about that. And every once in a while, you and I have to check ourselves and say, now, wait a minute. Am I really in the boat? Am I keeping my hands in the boat? Because there will be things floating by. The devil makes sure that your greatest temptations float right by the boat. He does. Whatever tempts you, it may not tempt me. What tempts me may not tempt you. We all have temptations. If someone says, oh, I am never tempted, they're lying. They've already sinned. Because it will float right by the boat, and you have to make up your mind. Now, has anyone ever fallen out of the boat? Anybody ever? I'm talking about a real boat. Oh, there's no klutzes in the whole building. Thank you. Raise, keep it up. Keep your hand up. You've fallen out of a boat in the water. Put your hands down. Good. Lots of klutzes. How about in the ocean? Anyone ever fallen out of a boat in the ocean? Oh, I'm the only one. I'm the biggest klutz in the world in the building. I was out in the middle of the Gulf. I was on a big fishing boat. We had been deep sea fishing. I was a kid. They wouldn't let me fish. I was bored. You don't take a kid that has ADHD that they never knew about pills and put them on a boat in the middle of the ocean and tell them they can't fish and there's nothing to do. They kept telling me, sit down. Sit down. Hold on. It was a rough and rocky sea. The boat was rocking back and forth. You're going to face times in life that you got to hold on because life gets rough. We're going to cross through some storms, some rough and rocky seas. Oh, yes, it's not going to be smooth sailing all the time just because you're serving God. You got to learn to hold on. I wasn't holding on. I was looking over the side. The boat took a little tip like this and plop! There I went. In the Gulf, rough seas, without a life jacket. And I remember coming up. Of course, you always bob back up unless you're struggling. I remember the waves pushing me back up. I was right outside the boat, a great big boat. There were 21 people on that boat. I remember bobbing back up, and what I saw and what I heard was this. They said, pull up the anchor. Start the engine. They pulled the anchor up quickly. I'm struggling for my life. There's salt water in my eyes, my nose, and felt like in my lungs. My chest is burning. And all of a sudden, I come up and I see the boat going off into the distance. I hear them saying, we finally got rid of her! That didn't happen. Oh no, that didn't happen. What I saw the very first time my little head bobbled up was this. Every person on that boat with a wild look in their eyes, with their hands over the side, saying, take my hand, take my hand. They threw a life preserver in. I grabbed a hold of it. They put their arms around me. They hoisted me back up in that boat. What I saw was the urgency. They were going to save me. They were going to rescue me. It didn't matter that I had been disobedient, that I hadn't been listening, that I messed up. All they cared about was that I had fallen out of the boat, and they wanted to get me back in. Church, in this last hour of time, you and I can't pull up the anchor. conquer and drive away on anybody. We have to make up our mind. I don't care if they've fallen out of the boat 90 times. I'm going to help them in again. Take my hand. Let me help you in the boat. Oh, Raboshoto Rabahai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They lugged me up out of that water. You have not lived until you have fallen out of a boat and had to get back in a soaking wet jean skirt. They weigh 200 pounds when they're wet. They lugged me back up in that boat. And this is what they did. There was a top deck in that boat, a middle deck, and then there was a place down in the bottom to sleep, cots and a kitchen and so on. They lugged me back up and they set me on the seat. I had been in the water now. You see, what's in that water is seaweed and fish guts. Unidentifiable objects. I look like Jonah. I've had perils at sea like Paul. They lugged me up on that boat. I had seaweed in my hair. I had junk dripping off of me. They set me down on a little seat there. And you know what they did? They all ran to the top bunk. They all ran up the stairs. Get away from her! She stinks! She'll probably never clean up. Cause she's been in that nasty water. So just, we got her in the boat. We've done our duty. Now we'll just let her rot. That's not what they did. No. They didn't care what got on me. They were so happy I was back in the boat. They went and got towels. They wrapped them around my shoulders. They put their arms around me. They weren't worried about the seaweed and the fish guts getting on them. They said, oh, we're so happy you're back in the boat. Hallelujah. This is the last hour of time. We gotta help people get back in. It doesn't matter what they look like or what they smell like. You know what they knew? They knew the sun would dry me out. Oh yes, the sun was shining. They set me on that chair with towels around me and it wouldn't be very long. We wipe all that off and the sun would dry me out. We gotta realize the S-O-N. The sun will dry people out. He'll clean them up. Don't wait to come to this altar and say, well, you know, I'm not coming and doing this. I don't want the Holy Ghost. I don't want to be baptized because I can't live like you people do. Hey, don't worry about that. We are not one bit iota worried about that. We want to put our arms around you. We want to love on you. We want to get you in the boat. Everything else will follow. Don't you worry about that stuff. The sun will take care of that. Oh, clap your hands, church. There are people who have not fallen out of the boat, but they've never been in the boat. And here we are in our little boat, waiting for Jesus to come. I got my beacon shining. Oh, too bad. You're floating by. You're almost dead. Too bad. Only room for me, my family. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I don't care that you're sinking and dying. You should have gotten in a long time ago. Should have got your own boat. Let's do a self-check tonight. How do we approach those who are floating by? Are we only ready to pray for them when they come to our altar? If now, if they come here and they really make an effort and they get up here, we have a team that'll pray them through. Now, we'll do that. But we're not going to talk to somebody on the street or at work or at school. We're not going to, you know, if they can be floating right on by, we're not going to worry about that. We are in the last hour of time. The helicopter's coming. The rescuer is coming. You and I have to get that paddle, that same paddle that got us away from the burning wreckage. And we have to paddle around. Can I help you in? Will you take my hand? Can I help you get in? You notice this morning I walked back and got people. I don't want to freak you out. Some of you need to get in the boat and I'm coming to get you. I'm going to come get you tonight. You know why? Because I got my paddle out. I preached for 21 years. I've never gone back in the congregation and taken people by the hand and walked them to the altar. But I'm doing it every week. Because I want somebody to look in my eyes and see the tears on my face and know that I'm not just some preacher, that I got it all together myself and I don't care about anybody else. The worst thing that can happen is you can look at me and say, no. And you'll have to live with that. But I can stand before my Maker and say, I tried, Jesus. I had my paddle out. Everywhere I went, I tried to get people in the boat. I offered to take their hand. Oh, Ramoshorama. We got to get in. We got to stay in. You got to have a made up mind. I'm going to stay in. I'm going to live for Jesus. And I'm going to keep my hands in. There will be things that will float by the boat. Come to the keyboard and play. Let's give these people hope. I was on the boat one day. I saw something in the distance. It was very beautiful. I didn't know what it was. It was bright aqua blue, and it was a bubble. And it was floating on top of the water, way in the distance. We were out in the middle of the Gulf, two and a half hours out from the shore of Key West, Florida. I saw that out there, and I looked around. No one else was looking. And I thought, I'm taking that home with me. I want that. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it would do. Most things we get ourselves in, most sin, we don't mean to. We don't know what it'll do, but we want it. Flesh wants it. I wanted that blue bubble. I looked around and nobody was looking. There were people on the top deck of that boat. My mom and dad were on that boat. Every wave was bringing it closer and closer to the boat. I remember so well, I looked around because I was sneaking. You know when you're sneaking, that's a terrible feeling. Afraid you're going to get caught. Horrible way to live. You get in the boat, you won't have to worry about getting caught anymore. I was looking around. Is anybody watching? When you go in a room and you lock the door, it's dark. You better run. You better unlock that door. You better run to mom and dad. You better pray. You better ask God to help you. When you're sneaking, that's when you're getting out of the boat. I remember I didn't want to fall out of the boat. I'd already experienced that. I knew if I reached over too far, what would happen. So I got down on my knees. Got down on my knees on the side of that boat and I practiced. I'd made my hand into a little cup and I reached out as far as I could all the while I was looking around. Anybody see me? Anybody see me? I might have to explain what I'm doing. I was on my knees because I didn't want to fall out of the boat. There are a lot of folks that don't want to get out of the church. They don't want to backslide, but they just want to reach into the world. They want to bring what's in the world into the church. What's in the world does not belong in the church. The water does not belong in the boat. The very dangerous things that don't belong in the church. Had my little hand cupped. I was watching in every wave. I mean, I was watching so close because I knew then when it got to me, one more wave would take it away. My heart was beating real fast. That big, beautiful blue bubble, it must be a toy from a Happy Meal I don't have. I'm going to take it back home for show and tell. All the these things running through my mind. I made that little cup out of my hand, and my heart was beating real fast, and there it was. And I was reaching over, and just as my hand came down on top of it, I mean, I was inches away, my heart beating fast, a big grin on my face, and someone on the top deck of that boat saw me. When he saw me with my hand outside the boat, he did not wait, but he immediately screamed, "Don't touch that!" Aren't you glad I put the microphone down? "Don't touch that!" When he did it, I jerked my hand back because he scared me. The very next wave took it away. The Bible says there's always a way of escape. The very next wave took it away. Some folks need to say, this week I'm not touching that. I'm going to let Jesus take it on by. Hallelujah. I was so mad. I mean, I'm just a little kid, and I swung around and said, "Why did you yell at me? I wanted that. I want to take it home." He came down those steps two at a time. He had a look on his face of fear. He came down those steps and, well, let me tell you what he did. You know, because everything in life anymore has to be politically correct. So he said, "Wait a minute, darling. Let me talk to your parents and see if it'd be okay if I speak with you. Let's fill out a bunch of forms first. Because we have to have forms on file if I talk to you. We probably ought to put a letter in to the government first." Political correctness by the world's standards does not belong in the church. He grabbed me by the shoulders and he shook me. He said, "What were you doing?" Every eye on that boat was on me. Talk about embarrassment. My mom and daddy were there. My mom had that big-eyed look. Everybody looking. He wasn't worried about embarrassing me. Quit worrying about how your flesh feels about everything. Get yourself in an altar. Quit being so proud and guarding your flesh. Hallelujah. He said, "You didn't even know what that was." It was a Portuguese man of war. Portuguese man of war is a type of jellyfish. He said, "Do you know that some of the tentacles are over 100 feet long? That when you reach down to pick that up, the way it eats its prey, it flips its tentacles up around its prey and paralyzes it. It would have flipped its tentacles around your hand, and your hand would have been paralyzed immediately. We would have laid you on the floor of this boat. We would have pulled that thing off of you. We would have turned this boat towards shore. But we are 2.5 hours away from a hospital. And that paralysis would have gone through your bloodstream from your hand. Leads directly to your heart." He said, "Little girl, you would have died. Why? Because you had your hand outside the boat." The Lord showed me tonight is not just about harvest, about brand new folks. It's about some people who need to say, "I need to get myself in the altar. I let some stuff slide. I'm doing stuff I never thought I would do. I'm watching things I said I'd never watch. I'm going places I said I'd never go. I've let some stuff slide. I'm pulling it in the boat. It won't work. I feel myself slipping over the side. I gotta have some help, Jesus." Don't you get mad at the man of God, at the preacher, when they call you in and say, "Don't touch that! Don't touch it!" You be thankful for an overseer that's watching for your soul. Now we're getting ready to come to an altar because there are people here that the paralysis is already in the hand. And you know what happens then? No feeling. You don't feel bad about it anymore. The Bible says having conscience is seared with a hot iron. You don't feel bad about it anymore. Excuse me, but you can fornicate and it won't bother you because you don't feel bad about it anymore. You can look at pornography and it won't bother you because your hand is already paralyzed. It's on its way to your heart. It doesn't bother you anymore. It's a dangerous place not to feel conviction, not to feel the voice of the Lord saying, no, 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 don't do that. We need to renew in the Holy Ghost. And when our Holy Ghost is full, we feel conviction when we start to put our hand inside. Would you stand with me? Altar workers, would you come and line across the front? Those of you who have never gotten in the boat, I want you to come first. These people are going to meet you here. They're not going to touch you. They're not going to do anything that's going to make you feel uncomfortable. They're going to help you. They're going to hear about. Hallelujah. Those of you that don't have the Holy Ghost, I want you to come now. You've never spoken in tongues before. You haven't been baptized in Jesus' name. Don't make me come get you. Come on. I'll take your hand. I'll walk with you. Anybody that's willing to come, you've never come before, please don't walk out of the service and not give Jesus a try. You know what? If you give him a try and you don't like it, the devil will take you back. So what do you have to lose? I'm looking in the eyes of some folks that have tried it their way. It's not going to get you to heaven. We need to try it his way. All over this building, let's raise our hands. This altar is open. There are those with their hands outside the boat that need to come and get a refilling and a refreshing. That's it, sir. Come on, honey. Come on. There's some more. Come on, right here. Go over right here to these gentlemen. Come on, somebody else come. Come on, sweetheart. Right here, ladies. Right here. Get around her, some ladies.